Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, each and every one of you. Thank you again for joining us for today's episode, today's conversation, talking about a difficult section in the book of James, because it gets right in our face as first world Christians that have a lot of resources. And it's very easy for us in what we have to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We talked about that last time, John, that just the danger of riches.
Yeah, James, in James 5, as we saw in the previous episode, really showed the great possibility of damage that material possessions can bring whenever we don't view them properly.
The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money. If we're not careful, it becomes our pursuit. In matter of fact, the Bible goes on to say in that very passage, 1 Timothy 6, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So, boy, I'll tell you what, a love for money, it'll get you misfocused. Now you're no longer seeking the things that you ought to be seeking, and ultimately, it will never satisfy you. So it's a double-edged sword negatively.
Yeah, money never satisfies. It cannot fill our lives as God can. And so God wants us to have a perspective of him that is proper. It reminds me of Demas, the associate of Saul, Apostle Paul, how that Demas, we don't know what he did exactly, but as we all very well know, the Bible says about Demas, he forsook Paul for this present world. I kind of imagine that Demas got more focused upon things of this earth and things of God, and they allured him away from God.
And maybe just got sick and tired of the pressures and what the ministry entails, because it was a difficult time to serve God during that season in Rome. But whatever the case was, he made a temporal choice that will bring eternal regret.
He did, and James even talks about now people that are going through difficult times, how ought they respond to what they're going through?
So that's where we are today. We're in James 5, my friends, in verse 7, where we're dealing with the response to those that have been taken advantage of. And I suppose that each one of us could put ourselves in this passage at some point in our life. Maybe you're a worker and you've been overlooked. Even though you're a diligent worker, you've been overlooked for a promotion. Maybe you've been taken advantage of in a family situation by someone that has the power. Maybe you've been ostracized or mistreated in a school setting. But whatever the venue is, I think the principles remain the same. So I want us to look at those principles in James 5 and verse 7, where the Bible says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." We're going to come back to that, John, but how often in the New Testament our confidence and our perspective is brought to that sure event of the future, the coming of the Lord. "Behold, the husbandman," we would say maybe the farmer, "waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it." We would use the word today, perseverance, stick-to-itiveness, "until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient," establish your hearts, "for the coming of the Lord," there it is again, "the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." So, wow, what a passage. Dealing with those that have been taken advantage of by others, specifically by those with resources, the people in verses 1 through 6. So talk to me about it, John.
Yeah, James wants these people to understand there's more than just this life. And this life, he's already dealt with, is fleeting. But sometimes as we're going through life, it's difficult for us to see how fleeting life is. And it's difficult sometimes in the midst of adversity to focus on eternity and the certainty of our blessed hope. And James wants to call them back to that and say, hey, don't be so focused on what's going on right now, allowing it to pull you down and discourage and defeat you, but have your hope set on what is going to come that is certain and sure.
And I know we've all heard that. I know, listeners, you're out there thinking, okay, yeah, I know, I've got to have an eternal perspective. But honestly, we need to stop day by day and stop and think about, hey, we're going to live somewhere forever and forever and forever. And this life is really a vapor. That's the context. Remember, we talked about that several episodes ago, that your life is a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And we ought to be looking to the soon coming of the Lord. And the wonderful thing about the coming of the Lord, John, is that it's imminent. It could happen at any moment.
Yes, it has that idea of something hanging over us. We don't know when it would be. The Apostle Paul thought it would have been in his day 2,000 years ago. I think it would be in my day. We don't know when it will be for sure, but God wants us to live with that imminency that it at any moment could happen, and it ought compel us then to live as God wants us to live.
One thing we do know, it's closer today than it was yesterday.
That is for sure.
The Bible says the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So the coming of the Lord, the fact that it's not just the fact that our troubles are going to end, but the coming of the Lord here signifies that there's coming a day when all things will be made right. That's the point, is that what's happening in our lives today is not unnoticed by the Lord. And it's not that it's not going to be dealt with. No, it will. And it's that coming of the Lord that is that great equalizer to all of it. God is watching and God knows. I think the passage there in Titus is helpful, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That becomes our focus. And throughout the New Testament, it's the perspective of the coming of Christ that resets us in trial.
And Satan so much wants people that are oppressed or people who are marginalized. Satan wants them to think that nobody cares about them. But I'm reminded, you know, Jesus in the Gospels talks about how our Heavenly Father knows when a sparrow falls. God does pay attention. And as you mentioned, God will take care of the issues that need to be taken care of. He will set matters right. He is a faithful and a just God.
And isn't it interesting that he uses a very practical illustration? Okay, like a farmer. A farmer knows that about October, November, those early rains are going to come and soften the ground. And the farmer knows that in April, May, those latter rains are going to come right before the harvest and the fruit's going to come. So the farmer understands the normal cycles of life and he puts his faith in them. And think about, you know, our cycles of life. We know there are certain things that happen year by year, and we don't question them. And if we're going to not question things that are that really do have a question mark, because sometimes drought comes, you know. But we there are some things in life we just bank on. And what the writer is saying here, James is saying, is one thing you know you can bank on is Jesus is coming again.
And James wants that to compel them to have the right action and have the right response to their troublesome times.
And I love the admonition, establish your hearts, because it's our heart that grows despondent. It's our heart, it's our attitude that sometimes determines our day by day, whether I'm not going to make it, my perseverance, my patience. So, hey, get your heart fixed on this truth. Let your attitude, let your will, let your emotion follow this truth that Jesus is coming again. And I love the second admonition in the passage, because it says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. So here I am being taken advantage of by these rich people. Maybe my paycheck is being held back and I'm working and this isn't fair. And what's going on? James says, hey, stop. know, Jesus notices he's coming soon. Get your hearts fixed on that. But then in the meantime, don't take out your frustrations on the person next to you.
Yeah, that is so easy, as we all know, to do that, where, you know, something happens to us and then we transfer our emotions to somebody else and yell at them or say something unkind to them. And that is human nature, is that way. But God has called us not to live according to human nature, but according to what his spirit wants us to do. And so James challenges them in this area that is very practical, because we all struggle with this sometimes. And James says, don't live that way. You've been called to a higher calling.
Yeah, grudge not one against another, brethren. It's easy when I'm frustrated at work to come home and kick the dog.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
It's easy when I have somebody lying about me or taking advantage of me at school to come home and be unkind to the people that I love. So grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Don't jump into the same boat as these carnal people that are taking advantage of you. Understand that the judge standeth before the door. And I don't think that's so much an admonition of, okay, don't grudge because God's going to get you. No, it's the attitude of, hey, God's going to take care of this. So, you know, don't sit around and complain. God's got this under control. Jesus is coming again. He's going to set all things right. And so just have a little bit of patience to trust that God's timing is right. And I think that's, and we'll finish with this, my friends. Verse 10 says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. You're not the first person to walk this road. You know, there are people that have been taken advantage of in the past, and we have their record in the Old Testament. People like Jeremiah, man, did he go through it. People like Elijah, people like, really name any one of the prophets and what they had to go through. Ezekiel, Daniel, oh my, being taken, you know, from his parents and in captivity and all of that. Hey, think about what others have gone through, and that's going to help you in your trial.
It is always encouraging to me when I'm facing difficult days or going through, you know, hard times, whatever the case may be, to think back to the Old Testament examples and how God worked in their life. And if I'm just frank with myself, I have not experienced anything to the degree that these Old Testament saints have.
First world problems, you know, my air conditioner doesn't work.
Exactly right. So why can't I have patience? Well, that's what God wants me to do.
And then that great verse in verse 11, behold, we count them happy. It would be the same word we'd use for blessed. But they were blessed that went through it. Now, maybe not in the moment did they see that, but and that's the wonderful thing about the Old Testament stories. Matter of fact, Paul told us this in Romans 15:4, where he said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience, perseverance, and comfort, encouragement of the scripture might have hope. So we have confidence to live our lives. Why? Because we don't know our whole story, but we know their whole story. So in their whole story, we see, oh, wow, God worked it out for good. So we look at their story and realize, okay, right now it looks like it's a mess and I'm hurting, but he's going to bring my story full circle as well. He always does. So there's a blessing in just trusting him in the moment. And then perhaps the greatest example of all in closing here is verse 11, where it says, ye have heard of the patience of Job. Sure we have.
Right.
Even people that aren't Bible literate know the patience of Job. And you've heard of the patience of Job, the Bible says, and let me see if I can read this the way it says it here. And have seen the end of the Lord. I love that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. The end of the Lord. In other words, God's intended end. So in the moment, Job couldn't see it. Matter of fact, Job even complained a little bit. But when you see the end of the story, what do you realize? God had a purpose. God was sustaining Job. God blessed him double at the end. But then all the things Job didn't see. God was showing Satan a lesson. God was inscripturating a story for all of eternity that we could look back to and draw encouragement from. So God is doing things that you will see. Oh, I see it now. Look at that. Now, what a blessing. And God is doing things that we don't see, that he's going to use for the benefit of others. The bottom line is God is in control.
Yeah, people often ask the question, you know, why? Why is this happening? Why? Many years ago, I read a commentary on Job. I can't remember the exact commentary now, but I got a quotation I've quoted many times since then. And it said in that commentary, knowing God is better than knowing answers. And that's what James wants us to realize is you may not always know why you're going through everything that you're going through, although sometimes we do, but God wants us to rest in him. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. And God wants us to live by faith, as James talked about in James 1, the trial of our faith worketh patience, and patience endurance. And God wants to perfect us and complete us as his saints.
Knowing God is better than knowing answers. That's a great thought for today. Let's take that with us. Let's chew on that all throughout today and to trust that our God has our lives under his control for his purpose and for his glory. God bless you, my friends. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.